morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by Live Blog directors John Rahor and Jamie Jors. We're talking about the Green Bay Packers. We're getting ready for a game this upcoming Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts on the road. To talk about that game, to preview the game, to talk about the city of Indianapolis, we have on the phone joining us this morning a special guest, former Green Bay Packers beat writer, now of NFL.com, Kareem Copeland, joining us this morning. Kareem, how you doing?
What's going on, Brian? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. The reason that brought me, Kareem, to invite him on the show used to be the Packers beat writer at the Press Gazette, now joins NFL.com and is actually based in Indianapolis. How has life been since you've left the little city of Green Bay for the big city in Indy?
Life has been good. Life has been good. A little bit hectic. I just got married in July, so you know, that kind of kept me a little bit busy, and it's a little bit different now, you know, writing for NFL.com as opposed to just concentrating on the Packers. But I'm actually a little bit excited for this week because you know, I moved during the off season, so I didn't really kind of get a chance to see all the guys and all the PR people to you know, kind of say goodbye one last time. So I'm excited to see a lot of the guys that I, you know, was talking to for every day for the last 2 years. So I'm kind of excited about it.
I know they're excited to see you. So you're doing a great job at the Around the League blog there at NFL.com. And it looks like you actually have gotten a little bit of your fix of Packers writing this week because the Packers are coming to town. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I just posted a blog just a couple minutes ago about Bruce Arians was talking yesterday that he didn't want the Cheeseheads to come into Lucas Oil and take over. And I said, you better be careful because it's happened. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in Atlanta. Cheeseheads turned Qualcomm in San Diego last year. We were calling it West Lambeau. So I've seen it happen. I said, watch out. Those Go Pack Go cheers will echo in a silent stadium. So as much as he wants the fans to be rowdy, it's going to be a little bit on the players, too, because we all know that if they start out a little slow and Aaron Rodgers gets going, it can shut a crowd up real quick.
Absolutely. I did want to ask you here, you know, what's the feeling in Indianapolis about Bruce Arians taking over for Chuck Pagano, who's been diagnosed with leukemia? Do you think there will be any sort of intangible effect, the team wanting to win one for the Gipper, win one for Pagano?
Both Arians and Andrew Luck and all the guys said it this week, you know, you got to concentrate on doing your job. You can't let the emotion of the situation, you know, send you out of whack and make you want to do things that you wouldn't normally do. This is already a rebuilding team, a young team that's still trying to find their way. And so you can't put that added pressure of, hey, we got to win it for Coach Pagano. They would love to, but at the same time, you still got to be within yourselves and not let the emotion of the situation just overtake you.
Okay. We talked about the Packers-Colts a little bit. Now, one of the main reasons I want you to be on the show today, every week we're kind of doing a little bit of a visitor's guide for Packers fans traveling to Indianapolis, and who better to talk about it than somebody who now lives there? You know, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm coming to Indy over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, probably maybe Saturday before the game. What is a tourist attraction I can go check out, something that's going to entertain me during the day for an afternoon?
During the day or afternoon, the two things I would probably suggest, I would first say make sure you kind of go down to it's called the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. It's kind of like the it's right in the middle of downtown Indy. Everything is kind of circles off of that. And that's where, actually, when they had the Super Bowl last year, I don't know if you remember, you know, they put up the big video screens of the Roman numerals, and that's where they had it last year. And it's just kind of a cool little monument, little, I guess, kind of a touristy kind of thing to just go hang out and check out, because it is pretty cool. You know, it's got I'm not sure, you know, the statues down there are really sweet. So that's kind of a cool thing. I would also suggest, you know, during the day, if you're kind of just walking around, there's an area called Mass Ave. It's actually, the street is Massachusetts Avenue, and it kind of runs all the way from downtown a little bit out to the east of downtown. It's totally walkable. It's probably a 15 to 20 minute walk, 5 minute cab ride. It's got a lot of different little shops down there, restaurants and bars, and it's a cool little area just to kind of walk up and down. I actually live right off of Mass Ave, so I'm kind of plugging the neighborhood. So, but that's a little area that's really cool that I really like. If you're going to talk about, once you get into the evening time, if you like jazz music, I would suggest the Slippery Noodle. It's pretty close to the stadium, and it's got great, got great live music. All the beers and drinks that you could ask for, but the music is really the main attraction. It's really cool. It seems like every time anytime somebody comes from out of town, it seems like we always end up at Slippery Noodle.
Very cool. So how about now? It's transitioning to evening. Where are we going to go out to eat? Where would you suggest that a fan go out to, you know, go out to dine the night before a game?
The top two restaurants are really St. Elmo's and Harry and Izzy's. They're both connected to each other. I'm not exactly sure how that dynamic works, but I guess the signature food here, or the thing that people from out of town come and have and talk about, is the shrimp cocktail. It's very horseradishy. It's very good. I love it. And so that's kind of the thing that all the out-of-towners come in and have, and that's at Harry and Izzy's, and that's at St. Elmo's, which is right downtown, impossible to miss. So I guess those are the two, the two big restaurants. You know, they've got a Morton's, and if you like seafood, there's a place called Oceana. All this stuff is right downtown that are very good. But I would say the two, like, signature restaurants of Indianapolis is probably St. Elmo's and Harry and Izzy's.
I have had the shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. I can confirm that it is amazing, so it is really good. Okay, Sunday, before the game, Sunday morning, what is the tailgate scene like in Indianapolis? Is there a big parking lot outside the stadium like Lambeau Field, or where do fans go?
From what I've seen, and it's hard because I haven't really been out there, because every time I'm going to the game, I'm going straight inside. But from what I've seen, it seems to be on the south side of the stadium, and maybe the southeast side of the stadium.
Okay.
We've got a pretty big parking lot, and that seems to be where there's area for your traditional tailgating. I've seen a couple other spots kind of scattered around with some people, but that seems to be the largest area that I've seen personally. And it's funny because it's a good tailgating scene, but it ain't Lambeau. it's funny, you know, because, you know, I was obviously up there for 2 years, and you know, I always kind of look at those things and kind of compare things, and it's funny how unique Lambeau is compared to so many other stadiums and atmospheres around the league. So I don't think the tailgating is quite up to Lambeau standards, but it's still pretty good. They're still out there. Every time I walk in, I'm smelling some food that I wish I could go out there and get. So, but that's what I think. I think more on the south side of the stadium. There's a pretty big parking lot right outside of right connected to the stadium that I see most people at.
Well, I guess the Packer fans are going to have to bring Lambeau Field with them for the tailgating scene. But, Kareem, thanks for joining us here this morning. Can I just get a quick prediction? What's going to happen during the game, you think?
Well, you know, I'm going with Packers. I mean, like I said, the Colts, they're still rebuilding, and they just don't have enough. I don't think they have enough firepower on offense and defensively, and they're going to have a really hard time in getting to Aaron Rodgers. You know, their pass rushers is really lacking right now, especially they don't know if Dwight Freeney's going to play or not. And that's how teams have been able to get the Packers offense kind of out of whack this year, is, you know, pressuring Aaron and not giving him time to sit back. And I think he'll have plenty of time to sit back this week. And the Colts are still, you know, their secondary is still in, let's call it development. it's not their strong suit. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for Rodgers and that offense. The best thing that the Colts could hope for happen is that they get a little bit of a ground game going, but that really hasn't shaken out too much this year. So it seems like one of those games where they're going to have to, Andrew Luck's going to have to try to keep up through the air and keep up scoring points, because that defense is, I'm guessing, is going to give them up this week.
Yeah, I think so as well. But Kareem, thank you so much for joining us here this morning here at Railbird Central. You're doing a great job at NFL.com. Keep it up, all right?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. And like I said, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Oh, I'll give you one more suggestion. I forgot. Nightlife. A lot of people like Kilroy's. That's a big bar. It's actually an Indiana bar, Indiana University kind of bar. People love going to that place. I know that's probably going to be where me and Tyler Dunn end up at some point. So I would suggest Kilroy's. And if you're kind of a club kind of person, there's a place called Sensu that's usually pretty hopping for all you club people out there.
Fantastic. I'm going to have to check out some of these places if I get to cover the Combine again this upcoming spring. But again, thanks a lot, Kareem. Thanks for joining us. And have a good weekend.
Absolutely. You too, man. And like you said, if you get down here for the Combine, holler at me. Let me know. We'll go hit up something.
Sounds good. Kareem Copeland joining us of NFL.com this morning here at Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks to him, and thank you, everybody else, for joining us this morning, listening in at CheeseheadTV.com, checking in on our live blog. Great to have Kareem joining us. Great to have you. And, you know, let's keep talking here. Let's keep talking about this matchup coming up this week. The Packers are 2-2, and, you know, you can't take anything for granted when you're 2-2. The Packers need wins right now. They're 500, you know. By all means, a loss is not going to eliminate them from playoff contention, they don't want to dig themselves a hole either. You know, the Packers beginning the first of three consecutive road games and four out of the next five, if I'm correct. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for them by any means. They're going to have to earn their wins over the next month or so, for the next couple weeks here over the rest of the season. You can't go into any game, assuming victory, but as long as the Packers are prepared, are ready, are coming out firing on all cylinders, this should be a game that the Packers, pardon me, I'm having voice problems this morning, the Packers should win handily, I think. I really do think that this is a much more talented Packers team. Obviously, just look at the regular season wins last year. Packers best team in the NFL based upon regular season record. And we all know what happened in the playoffs. We don't need to go there. But, I mean, just, you know, seriously, I mean, Packers 15-1, Colts 2-14 have the first pick in the NFL draft. That just tells you there's quite a talent difference there, and the Packers should be able to get this done. Not only that, the Colts are really banged up right now, especially at two positions. The secondary, and cornerback in particular, where they have two players injured. Vontae Davis and Justin King may not play, probably looking like they're not going to play. And the interior of the offensive line Colts, where Samson Satel doesn't look like he's going to play, one of their guards, two perhaps injured, question marks there. They are banged up. Dwight Freeney is a question mark. Don't know if he's going to play. I mean, the Packers have to take advantage of this. I mean, they are so banged up. There should be no reason the Packers don't win this handily. You know, I was asked for a score prediction on K107, I do my weekly Friday morning interview there. I said somewhere Packers in around the realm of 28, and if I were to guess over or under 28, I'd even go over, you know, getting in the 30-point range, maybe 31. I'll go with that. Packers 31, Colts 14, something like that. You know, Andrew Luck, it's going to fall on his shoulders, like Kareem Copeland said. I mean, they just don't have a whole lot else going on there in Indy. With the secondary banged up, the Packers are going to get their points, so the Colts are just going to have to play catch-up, I think. And they don't have much of a ground game. So really, the burden is falling on, you know, Andrew Luck, and that's tough for a rookie. That is tough. You know, he's been up and down this year. He hasn't looked great, but, you know, nobody's giving up on Andrew Luck by any means, obviously. You know, he's going to take his lumps, and you just got to hope the Packers give him some of those lumps on Sunday. You know, they give him a hard time. The Packers traditionally, under Dom Capers, have fared well against rookie quarterbacks, and you just hope they force him into a mistake or two, and that's all it has to be. You know, that's football. Andrew Luck doesn't have to make 10 mistakes. He's not going to make 10 mistakes. All he's got to make is one or two. He throws an interception, has a fumble, something like that, and the tide turns in a game just like that. That's all it takes, one or two. One or two. You know? People think, you don't have to, you know, it takes a ton of mistakes to win. It doesn't, you know, a handful. That's football, especially at the NFL level. You know, it might be different at the high school level. But when you get to the NFL, these guys really, they don't make mistakes. You got to earn them for the most part, except if you're Graham Harrell, right? We won't go there. Let's check out some of the news going around 1265 Lombardi Avenue. What's happening this week? You know, I think the headline from yesterday, the biggest part, biggest piece of news coming out of Green Bay was that Greg Jennings has officially been ruled out of Sunday's game. Coming from head coach Mike McCarthy during his daily press conference, Jennings has been ruled out. They just decided I think, you know, as Mike McCarthy explained, he and Jennings talked, and they're just like, why are we doing this? You know, why take it up all the way to Sunday? Just shut him down, let him get his rest, recovery, let him recuperate, and you know, there's bigger games down the road. They want Greg Jennings to be healthy. They don't want him at less than 100%. They don't want this thing to linger. They don't want to play him on Sunday, and then he's got to come out of the game again. He's already done that twice this season where he started a game and had to come out. So it's, you know, they want Greg Jennings to get healthy, so they just said, hey, he's out for Sunday. So any of you with Greg Jennings on your fantasy team, start making plans accordingly. He will not play. I thought it was pretty much a given even before they made it official that he wouldn't play. But anyway, it is now official. He's done. Change your fantasy lineups if Greg Jennings is on your team. And if you're the Packers, start getting prepared for life without Greg Jennings. Because, you know, it might not just be 1 week. It might be two, even more. We'll see. I'm not saying he's going to miss next week, the Texans game. He may not, but Packers got to be prepared regardless. Aaron Rodgers has to develop a rapport with Jordy Nelson's James Jones. I mean, he has. He's done these things. Even Donald Driver, you know, now with Jennings officially out, Donald Driver could be a bigger part of this Packers offense now that they know Jennings is out. They can game plan accordingly and get him in the game and certain packages and whatever. So, that's what we're looking forward to. Other news coming out at 1265 Lombardi Avenue yesterday. TJ Lang missed practice yesterday. Kind of one of those things that maybe caught people off guard. If you happen to follow TJ Lang on Twitter, maybe you weren't surprised. TJ had tweeted earlier in the week how he had missed some family members had passed away, and that's why he missed yesterday's practice. There's a piece on it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today if you want to check that out. Tom Silverstein Apparently, TJ Lang's grandmother passed away, and apparently another family member passed away too. So thoughts and prayers go to TJ Lang, but he missed yesterday. But head coach Mike McCarthy said he is expected back at practice today. So, unfortunate. But those kind of things happen to everybody, unfortunately. So it's a tough time. You got to deal with it and you move on. And sometimes when you got things to take your mind off of it, when you've got football, a daily routine can be the best thing to take your mind off of things like that that you don't want to think about. You know, when you got work, when you got family to take care of, that helps you get over things a little bit, that you can take your mind off them. So, Kyle Kuzno checked in here on the live blog saying TJ Lang was back in Green Bay last night already. So, yeah, I mean, you would expect he would be there today. So Packers, Colts this Sunday. We've already analyzed the game from just about every angle, I think, here. Maybe not every angle, but between having Kareem Copeland on the show and, talking about this injured Colts team, this should be a game the Packers win. That's what I see. And it would certainly be great for the Packers to get a win, get above 500. With a win, they would be 3-2, and they'd have some momentum going into next week's game at Houston. Because as everybody knows by now, Houston may be the best team in the NFL this season. Maybe we're not ready to go that far yet, but certainly they're at the very top. And when you're going to play them on the road in Houston, that is not going to be easy. So, the Packers don't want to go into that game with a loss. They don't want to be feeling down in the dumps, feeling like, oh my goodness, if we lose the Houston game, the playoffs is out of the question. We don't want the Packers feeling like that. So, that's why this game this weekend is important. Get a win, get the team feeling good about itself, get them a momentum, and that'll be the way to head into the Houston game. That's a good thing for the Packers that they get a win in the win column on Sunday. Like I said, get some momentum going, build it up, and that'll propel them into the rest of the three-game road trip. Because there are some winnable games in there, too. Going to St. Louis after that. Of course, St. Louis actually looking pretty good last night in the Thursday night football game. So, as you can see, you can't take anything for granted. The Packers just can't look at this game and be like, well, this team was 2-14 last year. We're going to win this thing. At this point, you can't take anything for granted. And Kareem Copeland mentioned it somewhat. He said, it would be great if the Colts could get a ground game going. That would certainly help out the offense. It would take some of that pressure off of Andrew Luck, for one. Not only that, if the Colts have a ground game going, that just wastes time off the clock, grinds the clock down, and that in turn keeps the Packers' offense off the field. That would be great for the Colts if they could do it. But, the Colts' ground game might actually be worse than the Packers, two teams not known for their ground games at all. Donald Brown is the featured running back there in Indianapolis. He's done really nothing of note, this year so far and really over the course of his career. And not to say that he can't be good, but one of the reasons the Packers won last week against the New Orleans Saints, I mean, let's look back at that game for a second here. The Packers are -2 in the turnover column. As we all know, anytime you finish -2 in turnover margin, the odds that you win are like less than 10%. Extremely low odds that you would win a football game. Even if you're finishing negative one in turnover margin, that's something that, you know, is hard to overcome. So, but the Packers do it, you know. So you ask yourself, well, how did they do it then if they finished negative two in the turnover column? Neither defense could stop each other, you know. The Saints still had Drew Brees in their corner, and basically Aaron Rodgers canceled him out. They both played good games. So, you know, where did the Packers win? And they won with their running game. It wasn't like this unstoppable ground game, but the Packers averaged 4 yards a carry last week. More, I think, you know, including every rush, including those by Aaron Rodgers, I think, you know, the Packers averaged 4.1 yards a carry. But Cedric Benson, though, averaged 4.7. So, you know, he was getting into the 5 yards per, you know, per average category, which is really good, you know, especially in the first half. He was really effective. And when the Packers can do that, you know, wow. I mean, the offense is really tough to stop. John Rahor says on the live blog, Cedric Benson, key to the offense. It certainly is key when he can get things going, as he did last week. And by comparison, then, the Saints didn't do anything in the ground. The Saints had 45 rushing yards total the entire game. I think Cedric Benson had, you know, had more than that the first half, you know. And so, I mean, the Saints averaged something like 2.1 yards a carry, something like that. So, and, you know, granted, they don't have much of a run game there in New Orleans, and the New Orleans defense isn't all that much. So, I mean, it wasn't hard for the Packers to run the ball, but still, I mean, that was one of the differences in the game last week, a reason why the Packers won when everything else wasn't going in their favor. You know, with the turnovers and Drew Brees being on top of his game. So where did the Packers win? They won with their running game. You know, that penalties too. I think the Saints had more penalties than the Packers overall, even though there were a couple notable calls that went against the Packers, especially the fumble that wasn't on the kick return by Darren Sproles that the Packers should have recovered. But anyway, you know, it's water under the bridge now. Packers won. We can look forward, not backwards. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on a Friday morning here at Railbird Central. That'll do it for today. Make sure to join us on Monday, next episode. Remember, we air every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at Railbird Central. Joining us Monday, as he does every week, Packers long snapper Brett Goode with another episode, our weekly segment of Oh Snap with Brett Goode. So looking forward to that. We'll be recapping what is hopefully a Packers victory. So hope to see you all then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirvu. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.